Showtime presents Homeland.
Air and naval forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Marina Baccarin.
It will not stand this aggression against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit.
David Harewood, Diego Kladnikov.
This was an act of terrorism. It is a despicable and cowardly act.
The next number we're going to swing for you.
Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin.
I'm just making sure we don't get hit again.
Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
Thousands of people running.
We must, and we will, remain vigilant the moment of rock.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I won't. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously, on Homeland.
What were his exact words?
An American prisoner of war has been turned.
I'm an American.
If he is a terrorist, we need eyes and ears on Brody from the minute he steps off that plane.
Out of the question.
How long before you're set up?
Feet will be live by the time Sergeant Brody gets back to his house.
Hello, big brother.
Ready for you, Sergeant Brody? You're debriefing?
I want to call my wife first.
Jessica, it's me.
She hugs him.
Nice to meet you.
Hug him, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I want to say thank you to my family for their strength in my absence.
3 days ago, we were about to tell your kids.
He's my husband, Mike.
Abu Nazir.
Was he ever present during any of your interrogations?
No.
Carries pills.
I didn't think that this was any of my business. Now I'm thinking that it is. Just tell me I'm not out here risking federal prison on behalf of a crazy person.
You know, maybe it is all in my head, but you're in it now, Virgil, up to your fucking neck.
You think for 1 minute you get away with this?
I thought that once I had some proof.
Yeah, honey.
Even suggesting that Sergeant Brody's what you think he is.
No.
Then get a lawyer.
I missed something once before. I can't let that happen again.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
It's a pattern. Okay, do you see? He's making contact, Saul. He's sending a message to somebody. A handler, a sleeper cell, somebody. So am I still going to jail?
Not just yet.
In low golden light and heat haze, Brody digs a hole in the tough desert terrain. His hands are bloody, and an armed guard paces nearby as he hacks at the solid ground. Brody stumbles over his shovel, then looks up to see a man being dragged across the ground towards him by his arms. The dead man's rolled into the grave that Brody's been digging. One of Brody's captors forces him to kneel on the edge of the hole and holds a gun to the back of his neck.
First to fight, right in commentary, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to bear the title of United States Marine.
Carrie wakes up with a start on the sofa and looks at the monitor to see Brody sitting up alone in bed. Terrified by his nightmare. She rubs her face as she watches him on the screen, and he starts to cry. Jessica's in the kitchen getting breakfast and sees Brody in the doorway.
Hey, you want some coffee?
Dana, Chris, come on, we're gonna be late.
Coming. First day at work, and you're gonna make me late.
You want some eggs before I go?
Hey, slow down.
Mom, I can't find my socks.
Sausage, I think it was sausage.
Happened again, didn't it?
Look in the dryer. Dana, can you please help him?
Yeah.
Around 4 a.m. this morning, you know, we're yelling something that sounded like Arabic over and over. He grabbed my arm really hard. You wouldn't let go.
Jesus.
What? Show me.
Jessica pulls up her shirt sleeves to reveal deep red bruises on her forearm. Brody looks remorsefully from them to her.
Hey, Mom. Dad.
Chris sits down at the table.
They're still out there. They stay out there all night when we're sleeping.
Brody looks at the press outside.
I forgot to flush again. Little douche.
Dana, language.
Douche is not a bad word.
Don't answer that.
Hello? CBS News.
Third time this week.
Tell him I'm not here.
He says he's not here.
Everyone looks uncomfortable.
Hey, I thought you didn't want to be late.
I don't know, maybe I should take another day off.
Hey, all those years on my own, Jess, I think I can handle one more day. I ain't going. Come on.
All right, come on, you guys. Come on.
Chris follows them without finishing his cereal. Left alone, Brody crosses the room and watches through the window as they get into their car, hounded by the media. Carrie's watching him in close-up on her monitor. Brody flinches, his lip twitching. Then he flashes back to standing in a narrow concrete cell, slowly shuffling the few paces from one side to the other.
Hello?
He looks around at the high, decrepit walls, then leans against the closed door. Back in the house, he quickly crosses the sitting room and opens the front door. Carrie watches as he stares out at the press, who are held back by police officers. Brody then goes back in and shuts the door, ignoring the newspaper on the front step. He stands for a moment, then walks back into the house. Carrie quickly starts writing. Brody grimaces at the sound of the phone, standing with his back against the closed bedroom door. He crosses the room, pulls a cushion out of the corner, and stands there with his face against the wall. Carrie continues to watch, writing notes. Alone in the house, ignores phone call. Stress, fear, tortured. Brody sinks to the floor. Flashback to another cell. Brody, dirty, bearded and with long, messy hair, sitting in the corner and staring straight ahead, lost in his own world. At home, he curls up in the corner of the bedroom, close to tears.
Team, and I hate to say it's all, but there's little...
If any repeat pattern combination, not even a quadratic basis to work with here. I'll keep trying as long as you need, but there's nothing definitive one way or the other yet.
Keep looking. I want to leave no stone unturned on this. We'll talk later.
Saul's looking at a painting on the wall.
What do you think?
Oh, definitely an original. By one of the preeminent Dutch painters of his time.
Relatively recent acquisition, if I'm not mistaken.
By an artist who, as it turns out, was not only Dutch, but also Jewish.
In a club with no Jewish members. That was your point, wasn't it? How do you take it?
Your Honor, I'm not asking for anything that hasn't been granted many thousands of times over in the last 10 years.
Surveillance warrant on an unspecified subject on American soil. If this were a standard request, you'd go through standard procedure, so.
In this case, I don't have time for a government lawyer to petition the court.
So you're asking me to issue a FISA warrant directly to... What is it exactly you do at Langley these days?
Among other things, pay house calls to those I prefer not to have to...
Strong arm?
disturb.
The judge glances over his shoulder.
Are you ever going to let me off your hook, Saul?
We both know you're far too fine a judge for that, Jeffrey.
Can we at least act like this is about the law, rather than a brief moment of weakness in my past?
This is absolutely about the law, Your Honor.
Jeffrey hands Saul a large, thin brown envelope, then sits back and watches as he opens it and takes out the contents. Carrie empties the last pill into her hand.
Shit.
She shakes her head, but pops it into her mouth anyway, then closes the medicine cabinet and drinks some water.
Hey, Maggie, it's me. Sorry I haven't called in a while. I've been slammed. Thought I'd come see you guys for a night. That's good with you. Calling back. Let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Brody's still sitting in the corner of the bedroom. Carrie's watching and painting her toenails when Saul walks in on her.
I've got a doorbell, you know.
You really think you still have a right to privacy with all this?
My God, look at this place.
It's broken. The doorbell.
What's that?
This gives you 4 weeks.
You got a warrant? A FISA warrant? We're legal now?
Legal-ish, but far from official. And certainly not Estes proof. Be very careful not to mistake this for a stamp of approval. Or sanction from me for you to wage some sort of personal war.
Eyes on Brody makes complete sense. It's exactly what you would have done in my shoes, Saul.
No, it is not. You lied to me about it, Carrie. Then right here in this room when I called you on it.
I know what I did. And I know it was wrong. And insulting.
Insulting. And barely scratches the surface of what that was. 4 weeks, Gary. Not a second longer.
I want to show you something.
They go to the monitors on her coffee table.
He has nightmares where he repeatedly begs someone to kill him in Arabic. He's too ashamed or scared or both to face the press outside his house or take calls from the TV news. So what does he do? He finds shelter in the corner of the bedroom where he hasn't moved in over 5 hours.
All of which makes complete sense after 8 years of captivity.
But what if it's more than that?
If Brody had really been turned, as you say, you know what he'd more likely be doing by now? Talking to the press outside his house, doing TV interviews, playing the hero card for every penny it's worth.
Maybe it's not that simple for him.
Get some sleep, Carrie.
No one said becoming a terrorist was easy, Saul. If you'd been taken prisoner, tortured for God knows how long, and somehow finally been turned, then one day you come home and suddenly it's real. It's on.
Well, that's one interpretation, but that's all it is at the moment. Clean your apartment. I need some real food.
He leaves, and Carrie looks around the room, then down at her feet with just one set of nails painted pink. In an apartment, a young woman stands before a camera in her knickers as a blonde woman reads her resume.
Raised in Colorado Springs, attended BYU. Interests, finance, travel, men. Stacey Moore, this is Latif bin Walid, majordomo for His Highness Prince Farid.
Please continue.
Would you say you're outgoing or more the quiet type, Stacey?
I'd say more outgoing. Definitely social. I like to party, if that's what you mean.
Do you drink?
I'm not a drinker, per se, if that's what you mean.
Stacey, you are interviewing for a job that pays in 2 years more than most people in this country earn in 20. If you're successful in this interview, you will be required to appear self-possessed, confident, modest, and reticent all at the same time. So stop asking what I mean. Think and answer for yourself. Do you enjoy anal sex?
Excuse me.
How about other women?
Sure. Both.
Have you ever dated any famous men?
That's none of your business.
The woman gently puts a hand between Stacy's legs.
You need to wax that, sweetie. Here down there's not an option for His Highness.
She looks at Latif, who nods.
Very nice. You're through to the final interview. We'll contact you within the next week. Congratulations, and you can get dressed now.
She picks up her phone.
Who are you calling?
My esthetician. I too need to wax before the prince gets in. You feel free to book the appointment for me if you like.
Latif takes the phone from her.
Music.
Mm-hmm. On hold. Kenny G. Welcome to America. Come here. Would you mind selecting the next girl to come in, please?
He leaves the room.
Come on, pick up, pick up. Hi, this is Lynn Reed, 2 E's. I was referred by one of your clients, Carrie. Yes, that's her. I need to book a Brazilian wax for noon tomorrow. Right? No, that's the only time I can do it.
Okay, noon it is. We'll see you then.
Carrie's phone rings at home.
Hello?
Carrie, it's Yvonne Marshall. I'm the duty officer tonight.
Hi, Yvonne. What is it?
You have an asset in from the cold booked a treatment tomorrow at the Yarra Spa in Georgetown.
Lynn Reed?
That's right. She used your first name as a reference and made a noon appointment.
Noon? Are you sure she said noon?
That was the only time she could make it.
Okay, thanks, Yvonne.
Carrie paces anxiously, then looks back at the monitors with a frown. She sits down and watches Jessica walk into the living room, where Chris is watching TV.
Hi. How's school?
Okay.
Dad here?
Don't know.
Brody's still in the bedroom, sitting against the wall in the dark. He's just closed his eyes and bowed his head when he hears Jessica. He stands up and returns the cushions before she comes in.
Hey.
Hey.
How was your day?
Great.
Carrie watches intently, then her mouth opens, a little shocked, and she looks away with a subtle smile. Mike walks down a corridor at Langley in full uniform. He opens the door into one office, then goes through another that leads into his own office.
Oh. Hope you don't mind, Mike. We helped ourselves to some of your hooch. We thought we would stop by for a situation report on Sergeant Brody.
He hands Mike a drink. David Estes is sitting on the sofa watching.
Situation report on Brody is this. He's been back 3 days, and it's going to take a little more time until he's willing to come out of his shell, let alone his house.
The man represents a significant victory in the war on terror, thanks to our friends at the CIA. And putting aside for the moment that Sergeant Brody owes them his life, these are the facts. Bin Laden's dead. Now, America thinks, or wants to think, that this war is drawing to an end. Politicians are pushing for wholesale withdrawal from Afghanistan.
But as we all know, Captain, the terrorists are still out there, after blood. We need Brody in the public eye, reminding America that this is far from over.
What if he's not up for it? Psychologically.
Fuck it. Drive on. Isn't that what you Marines say?
In combat, where else is shit and saran wrap and shoot to kill? You want Brody to do that too?
Don't take that tone with me, Captain.
Career pencil pusher with his brown nose and my scotch saying, fuck it, drive on.
You're a captain in the United States Marines. You mean to tell me you can't give a sergeant a direct order? Is that what you want me to report up the chain?
Look, Mike, I get it. You and Brody are friends, right? By the way, how's his wife Jennifer doing?
Jessica.
A look passes between them.
If not for us, Brody should at least do it for her. For their kids. And I'm sure you're more than familiar with their current financial problems.
DOD's offering a very generous re-enlistment package plus a promotion. I could pull his family out of the shitter.
Give your friend the correct advice, Captain. Make it happen.
The two men walk out, leaving Mike looking thoughtful and troubled. The press are still camped outside the house. Brody's cooking.
Where's Mom keep the pancake mix?
What?
You toast-ass wife.
Found it.
Chris is playing a war game.
Hey, Dad. What's it like to kill somebody?
Brody stops what he's doing, staring down at the frying pan, lost in thought. Carrie watches closely on the monitor while Chris waits for an answer. When Brody finally looks up, drawing a deep breath, he spots a photographer at the end of the garden taking a picture of him through the window. He goes out to confront him.
Can I help you?
Yeah, just a couple questions, Sergeant Brody. Nick, can I call you Nick?
You got 10 seconds to get off my property.
I'm Alan Quick, Channel 10, and technically I'm standing on a public easement.
5 seconds.
Oh, come on, Nick. Hey, how about we start with an easy one? Tell me, how are your kids doing with all of the...
Brody hits him in the throat, knocking him to the ground, then looks up, taking a deep breath. He looks back at the house and sees Chris standing outside, having witnessed the whole thing. Brody goes back to the photographer, but walks past him, looking around fretfully towards the back of the garden. He heads into the trees at the far end.
Fuck. Fuck! Max, he's heading through the woods out back. Less than a minute ago. I need you to hurry around to Mansfield Road. It's about 400 yards north. Okay, call me back when you find him. Shit.
Jessica runs into the kitchen.
Who left this pan on the stove?
Chris walks back in.
Chris! Where's Dad?
Brody steps out of the trees and walks towards a hedge with a car parked next to it. Then he crosses a wide street. Max, wearing a white shirt, brown jacket, and with a Bluetooth phone piece clipped to his ear, follows him at a discreet distance. Brody makes eye contact with a young man dressed casually in an army fatigue jacket and cap. Then, he's walking through a shopping mall. Max bumps into an elderly lady, knocking something from her hand, and has to stop and help pick them up as Brody descends on an escalator. Carrie's hurriedly getting ready to go out.
You know, the whole reason I left the company and went freelance was so I could have a life. Becoming my wife's least favorite person.
They're incoming humans I gotta deal with.
Who is it?
Someone I recruited in Bahrain a few years ago. A professional girlfriend of a Saudi prince.
What's she got?
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
You got Denis?
Yeah, there's a yogurt in the fridge.
Carrie's waiting at the Yara Spa in a room lit with candles when Lynn walks in wearing a white dressing gown.
Lynn, how are you?
Okay, fine, I guess.
What are you doing here in D.C.?
Pre-screening more girls for the prince's harem. He gets in tomorrow.
12 noon appointment. What's the code red?
So there I am 5 days ago in Cyprus on Prince Farid bin Abud's yacht. When the prince's major domo, Latif bin Walid, announces that the prince has a surprise visitor.
So this surprise visitor, who was he?
You know that they stone women like me to death if we get caught doing anything that we're not supposed to.
Having filmed the meeting on the yacht, Lynn takes a phone out of her pocket and hands it to Carrie, who plays it.
Assalamu alaikum.
The man he's talking to is Abu Nazir.
Abu Nazir.
I was this far from him. I really don't want to do this anymore, and I mean it, Carrie. I feel like I can't even breathe now. They're going to suspect something.
But Lynn, all you have to do now is keep your eyes and ears open for the remainder of your contract with the prince.
That's what you said when you recruited me in Bahrain, but I never thought that I would get 8 feet from the most dangerous terrorist in the world.
No, you are the only agency asset to have had eyes on Nazir in 7 years.
Asset? I am just some girl from Sandusky, Ohio, who you talked into helping out her country.
And I won't let anything happen to you. Don't quit on me now, please. You can't. Don't think I don't appreciate what it took for you to do this, Lynn.
Carrie walks out.
Saul Berenson.
Alert the group, Saul. Inform Estes. This is a game changer.
Can't be more specific?
I don't want to talk on an open line.
Source protection?
It's way past source protection, Saul. I've got a visual confirm on the Sandman.
What?
You heard me. Actual eyes on.
How far away are you?
20 minutes.
I'll assemble the group.
He makes a call. The police are outside Brody's house. Mike knocks on the front door, and Jessica answers it.
What are you doing here?
Have to talk to Brody. Hey, bud, what's up?
My dad beat the crap out of somebody.
Dana, I asked you to please watch TV with Chris for a while.
She went to her room.
Beat the crap out of who?
Can you please go watch TV for a little while? I need to talk to Uncle Mike. Can you do that for me?
Mike goes in and puts his cap down.
What's going on? Where are the kids at school?
You don't know? Isn't that why you're here?
No, what? Are you okay?
Brody hit a reporter and then he took off into the woods. Chris saw the whole thing.
Take a breath, Jess. Come here.
Hello, Mrs. Brody.
When was this?
About an hour ago, maybe more.
Why didn't you call me right away, Jess? The hell is that?
He has nightmares.
Brody did that.
Or flashbacks, whatever you call them.
I have to make it work with Brody. I have to.
This is where he tells you everything's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay, Jess.
Is it really? Do you honestly think so?
Ugh. That's disgusting, Carrie.
This is the first confirmed sighting of Avenue Zero in 7 years.
Well, very much to your credit, nobody's arguing with that. But it's not enough to authorize the task force.
Well, I'm not asking for that. All I need is a few more bodies on Sergeant Brody.
Look, the circle's small. We keep it that way till you have more than just a theory linking Brody and Abu Nazir.
So Abu Nazir's resurfacing just as Brody has miraculously returned home means nothing? It's just a coincidence?
The dots are there, Carrie, but you haven't connected them yet.
So I understand that you're still furious with me, but give me something here, please.
I'm not telling you to stop. I'm telling you to slow down. A FISA warrant? It gives you 4 weeks. Use it. Carefully, methodically.
Look, like it or not, you work for Deputy Director David Estes.
Who has career stakes in Brody, whom he and his department brought home to great fanfare. Want to challenge that? I'd be damn sure you get all your ducks in a row first.
Saul walks off, and Carrie makes a call.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
He can't have gone far.
Listen to me. If Brody has one 15-second meeting with one contact, that's all it'll take. I'm not going to miss that. Find him. Find him fast. Like call me back.
David sees her from his office.
Commercial cargo. And the bags. All new patents in numerical transactions of any amounts. Please, thank you.
Let me be the first to say, Carrie, outstanding work. All other files on your desk go on the back burner, as of right now. I want your girl on this Prince Farid like white on rice. Mike, first thing you get her to do is upload the data on his BlackBerry.
She's scared out of her mind. I need to be able to guarantee her protection. Backup.
Would a four-man fire team do it?
Great.
For an escort, you recruited in Bahrain.
Don't be a prick, David.
You know damn well, if we put a quick reaction team on a girl in this short time frame, we'd have no idea of knowing who's watching. If Abu Nazir even smells around the prince, he'll vanish in the thin air again.
It's the QRT's job not to be detected. You're saying you can't trust those guys to protect an asset in danger?
It's my job to make the tough calls, Carrie. The answer is no. Your job is to control your asset. She needs backup. You're it. Get it done.
Yes, sir.
Brody's walking down an aisle in a hardware shop. He looks at the different products on the shelves and picks up a small item. Max is observing him and calls Carrie.
Please let this be good news.
He's looking at everything. Lumber, nails, screws, electrical wiring, power tools, you name it.
Is he taking notes or anything?
Whatever he's doing. Looks like he's doing it all in his head. Okay, he's on the move. I'll call you back.
What?
Max bumps into a security guard, but quickly walks away. Brody continues down another aisle and looks at a number of different doormats, feeling their texture.
I guess we might as well eat.
Is Dad still AWOL?
Oh, he'll be back. Don't you worry.
Hey.
Hey. Any new developments?
I'm telling you, this guy's got to be wishing that Brody doesn't come back so he can keep doing the wife.
She thought breaking up was easy.
Any popcorn in there?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have pretzels.
I love it, a pretzel.
Uncle Mike, since you're a captain and Dad's only a sergeant, does that make you the boss of them?
It smells delicious.
No sergeants have to speak to the captain
and call him sir.
It's Irish stew. Dad's favorite. Right, Mom? Is Dad in trouble?
Trouble? No. Like I told you earlier, bud. That reporter out there, he's the one who should be in trouble, all right?
They watch Brody take a carrier bag into the garage.
Wait, there's no camera in the garage?
On this budget, I had to prioritize.
And now he's placing a bag containing God knows what in our blind spot? Jesus Christ, Virgil!
Jessica and Mike see his silhouette through the window.
You guys think about playing a couple rounds of cards?
Yeah.
Huh?
Brody comes out without the bag, and Jessica goes to meet him in the carport.
Where's the sound?
Not that you deserve it, but...
Where have you been?
How's that walking?
All day?
Didn't know that wasn't allowed.
Please don't do that.
He glances into the kitchen.
You know, the past 8 years haven't exactly been a picnic for me and the kids either. One way or another, we've all changed. We just have to find a way to start over. He punched a reporter.
Oh, he'll live.
In front of Chris.
He'll live too.
That's it? He'll live?
Dinner smells good.
Jessica looks at him with anger and surprise, then heads inside.
Good. I lost. There's another one. Oh.
Hey, guys. What are you playing?
Arts.
Arts, watch out for this guy, kids. Back in the day, he used to double his paycheck playing this game.
Hearts, which the Marines call Hunt the Cunt.
Dana.
Maybe the daughter's the terrorist.
Don't blame me, Mom. Blame the Marines.
Fuck you, Virgil. All right, and good night to you two.
Mom's Irish stew.
Should we say grace?
We say grace now?
When we have things we're especially thankful for. Right, guys?
Can I do it, please?
Go ahead, sweetie.
Dear God, thank you for bringing my dad back. Please make him a captain, too, just like Mike.
What about the food, Chris?
Oh, yeah, no. Thanks for the food.
Amen.
Amen.
As they start to serve up, Brody glances across at Mike.
No.
You sure? You?
You always come over here in uniform? Once a Marine, always a Marine. Does it start something like that?
Look, I'm not gonna bullshit you. You can't keep doing this, Brody.
Then what? Come on, you know what the fucking when. You talk to the press, or you take that call from CBS News, I mean.
Do an interview or
whoa,
two.
Whoa, stop right there, Mike.
It could give you a promotion. I mean, Hollywood's gonna do a fucking movie about you. In the process, you get to provide for Jess and the kids.
Well, I said stop. The brass sent you over here to turn me into some fucking poster boy for their bullshit war. You know what?
You can go right back there and tell them the days that I take orders from United States military or the government are over. Done. You know what I really need, Mike? I need the last 8 years back. Where I get to take care of my wife and kids. Where I don't get asked to go over there and fight their fucking war. Where I'm not taken prisoner. Not left out there to rot. Never tortured, none of it. Can you do that for me? Or is it too much to ask? There's the door. Uncle Mike.
Chris is writing in bed by the light of a small lamp when Brody comes and stands in the doorway, watching him. He looks up and closes the book as Brody walks in and sits on the edge of the bed.
There are times when you have to stand up for yourself and what you believe in. I wish you hadn't seen what you saw today, but you did. And I'm sorry. You gonna be okay?
He smiles and nods, and Brody pinches his cheek affectionately before standing up again and walking out. As he goes, Chris's smile fades, and he lies down in his bed, looking fed up and uncertain. Carrie puts a pillow and blanket on the sofa and lies down in her pajamas, brushing her teeth.
And sometimes when you have some success against the...
Brody's lying on his sofa in the dark, staring at the game on TV. Carrie watches on the black and white monitor as Jessica walks in and sits down on the floor in front of him. She smiles at him, but he doesn't respond, so she takes his hand.
Everyone just wants to thank you for your service. Your sacrifice.
He still doesn't look at her.
Maybe they want to thank all of us. You and me and the kids.
He takes his hand away, putting them both behind his head.
One day you're going to want to talk about all of this.
Jessica turns to watch the TV. Carrie lies on her sofa, watching them on the monitor. In a hotel...
Take His Highness upstairs to settle him in.
How long until his next appointment?
Long enough.
No, I read the article in the journal. It's fantastic. No, I'll call you soon. Oh, wow.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am so sorry. That was an accident.
Don't worry, sir. Accidents happen.
Here, let me get that.
No need. Please.
May I at least
thank you.
Pay for the dry cleaning?
No need. Go wash it off. You have less than 3 minutes. I'll wait here.
Not going to believe what happened. I spilled tea on this girl's blouse, and it's...
Lynn hurries into the ladies' toilets and is standing at the mirror when Carrie walks up to her.
Jesus. Under the sponge of this compact, there's a plug-in device that'll fit into the Prince's BlackBerry. It'll need 45 seconds to upload all his data. And let's suppose that I get that far. You call the spa again, and you hand it off to me in person. What if the device doesn't fit? It will. You said before that you would never let anything happen to me. And I meant it. There's a team protecting you 24/7. Where are they? Aside from the man who spilled tea on you just now, who you won't see again, they're right under your nose. But if you can see them or know who they are, that's a problem. I need your compact.
They both stop and look round as another woman comes into the toilets, but walks straight past them to a cubicle. Lynn puts her identical compact on the side and picks the one Carrie gave her up. Then she walks out. A chauffeur opens a car door outside the hotel, and a suited man gets out, talking on his phone. He stops to greet Lynn as she approaches. Carrie's sitting in her stationary car on a suburban street, looking thoughtful. After a moment, she undoes her seatbelt and gets out. She walks around the back of the car and up the drive of a house where two young girls are playing on the veranda.
Andy, Carrie!
Hi! Oh, wow, that is the best welcome I've ever had from anyone. How are you two?
You forgot Ruby's birthday, silly. It was really awesome. This man brought snakes and lizards and turtles and everything.
The snake ate a rat.
Oh, I missed that? Damn. I forgot your birthday. I'm sorry, Ruby. Oh, but there is this.
I told you, Ruby.
You thought I'd forget something as important as that? I was working last Saturday, honey. If I could have come, I would have. I promise.
Mom, Mom, look at it. Carrie got Ruby for her birthday.
Wow, that is so cool. Did you say thank you?
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Okay, now, you two monkeys, come on in and finish your homework. You can see Aunt Carrie when you're done.
They go inside.
That's impressive.
I beat them. Don't tell the neighbors. Come on in. Staying for dinner?
I can't. I'd
love to, but you're slammed as usual.
Maggie.
No, don't. You don't have to explain. We worry about you, Dad and I.
Yeah. How's he doing?
Considering he has the same illness you have? Well, now he's under my roof. He goes for regular therapy and treatment. That's the deal. So, he's good.
Are you finished? Come on, Maggie, ease up a bit. Just once, give me a break.
Maggie puts a pill bottle down with a few in the bottom of it.
Only 7 this time?
Raiding my samples cupboard not only enables you, it jeopardizes my license. So, 7 pills. And we talk again in a week, not a month. Or you could just deal with the problem like any normal person would and go see a psychiatrist.
I keep telling you to work where I work.
You can't disclose your illness or they'll pull your security clearance. I understand, Carrie.
I'm really good at what I do, Maggie.
And I'm not just a quack. Dad'll be pissed he missed you.
Where is he?
Bill took the day off. They went golfing. You said you were coming tonight. It's not even 6 yet.
Carrie gives her a hug.
Next time.
Okay.
I'll go say goodbye to the girls.
Brody wakes up with light and shadow on his face and thinks back to being in his cell.
Hello?
He pushes the door.
Please answer.
It opens about a foot, and Brody stops on his hands and knees, looking out of it into the darkness. He lifts a hand and pulls the rope out of its casing, then pushes the door open wider. At home, he blinks, remembering, and sits up to find himself lying on the bedroom floor. Brody stands and looks down at Jessica, who's asleep in the bed, then makes his way quietly out of the shadowy room. Carrie's awake on her sofa, watching him. As Brody walks through the house, flashback shows him walking along a stone passage and through a shaft of golden sunlight that comes through the roof, on towards a closed door at the end with more light coming from underneath it. Carrie watches as he goes outside, through the carport and into the garage. He puts on the light and closes the door behind him.
Shit, Virgil!
In the medium glow of an overhead strip light, Brody starts moving things around, clearing a space in the middle of the garage and sweeping it clean. When that's done, he works on a small unit that's attached to the ceiling and plugs a wire into it. With the lights switched off now, Brody goes over to a workbench, picks something up from it and points it at the garage door, which lifts up about a foot, revealing sunlight splayed across the drive outside. In the flashback, he opens the door at the end of the passage and squints into the bright glare of golden sunlight. He stops and listens, turning his head slowly to the side. A little further along, in a warmly lit stone room, men bow in prayer. As Brody stares at them, one man turns to look at him and smiles. In the gloom of the garage, Brody washes his hands at the sink. Then he opens the carrier bag from the store and lifts out a thin red mat. He places it down in the space he cleared, facing the door, and begins to pray.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki. Allahu Akbar.
He kneels down and rests his forehead on the mat.
Subhana Rabbi Allah, Subhana Abdi Allah, Subhana Rabbi Allah. Allahu Akbar.
He kneels up now, holding his cupped hands out in front of him in the sunlight. In the bedroom.
Hey.
Jessica sits up.
Couldn't sleep?
I was cleaning out the garage. Oh, hey, I fixed the door.
He smiles and goes into the ensuite bathroom, shutting the door behind him. Jessica smiles back, then looks away, unsure again. The entry monitor shows Brody walking to the front door and putting on his marine cap. As he steps outside in full uniform to face the press, Carrie sits up, startled.
You people ready?
Is it true you're going to enlist?
Would you ever go back to Iraq?
Saul, turn on your TV. It's happening. Exactly what you said. He's out there playing the hero card.